Again, today is Dedication Sunday. If you have not received the pledge card, they were all mailed, not by first-class mail, but by bulk mail. And bulk mail is not treated as first class. And so if you didn't get a pledge card in the mail, there are plenty available like this in the narthex. They come in envelopes like this. And if you want to complete it or take it today and complete it in the coming weeks, there's an envelope inside, and you can return it to the church as you wish by mail or just bringing it and placing in the offering stations one Sunday. This is the last sermon in the series of our stewardship messages on the theme, do not grow weary, that comes from Philippians. Do not grow weary, for if we are patient and do not give up in time, we will reap a great harvest. And the sermon this morning is entitled, To Give or to Get. Our scripture reading is a longer reading than normal. It comes from Acts chapter 20. It is a section in Acts where Paul is speaking to the elders in Ephesus. They are very intimate words, perhaps his last words that he spoke to them. And you'll see how very intimate they are in the directions that he gives to them, perhaps some of his last words. And so listen now to God's word as I read from Acts chapter 20, beginning at verse 17. From Miletus, he sent a message to Ephesus asking the elders of the church to meet him. When they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the entire time from the first day I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears, enduring the trials that came to me through the plots of the Jews. I did not shrink from doing anything helpful, proclaiming the message to you and teaching you publicly from house to house, as I testified to both Jews and Greeks about repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus. And now, as a captive to the Spirit, I am on the way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and persecutions are waiting for me. But I do not count my life of any value to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the good news of God's grace. And now I know that none of you, among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom, will ever see me face to face again. Therefore, I declare to you this day that I am not responsible for the blood of any of you, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. So keep watch over yourselves and over all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. To the shepherd, the church of God, to shepherd the church of God that he obtained with the blood of his own son. I know that after I have gone, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Some even from your own group will come, distorting the truth in order to entice the disciples to follow them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to warn everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the message of his grace, a message that is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or clothing. You know for yourselves that I worked with my own hands to support myself and my companions. In all this, I have given you an example that by such work we must support the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus. For he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. When he had finished speaking, he knelt down with them all and prayed. There was much weeping among them. They embraced Paul and kissed him, grieving especially because of what he had said, that they would not see him again. Then they brought him to the ship. Let us pray as we come to the message. O Lord and our God, as we come to you this day, we ask that you would speak to us perhaps a word that is tailor-made for each one of us at our point of need. O Lord, enrich us today with your grace and your truth. and challenge us where you must, but comfort us through your Holy Spirit, we pray. It's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. I want to begin with a story I made up about a father who takes his son through the drive-thru at McDonald's. The son wants some French fries. And so he takes him through the drive-thru, gets him a large fry, and turns around in the family van and hands it to his son, who's seated behind him in his seatbelt. And the son begins to eat the fries. They drive away, and when they finally come to a stop, the dad smells those French fries, and they smell so very good. And so the dad reaches back and takes one of the fries, and guess what that son says? His name is Gary. You know what he says? It's exactly what he says. They're mine. They're all mine. They're not yours. They're mine. Some of you have heard that scenario play out in your own households at some point, perhaps even by an adult or two. The father has some choices at this point. He can just go through the drive-thru again and buy himself some fries. They're not very expensive, just French fries. He can buy all the fries he wants. He can, and some parents have done this. When children act out, they say, I'm going to take all those French fries away, and he can take them away. It's a sort of discipline. But also, the dad has something in mind. When he gave him those French fries, he knew he would do this because he wanted to teach his son all about sharing. About sharing. I want to propose to you this morning that this sermon is all about sharing, that God gives us all that we possess in order to teach us how to share. Because all that we have, we don't take it with us. All of us leave with empty pockets. And this morning, I want to suggest to you today that this verse that we read, these verses from the book of Acts, especially this phrase, giving is better than receiving, but it's a blessing, that is, it is a true summary of life that the Apostle Paul gives us in some of these, his last words. It's a true summary of life. It's not just a stewardship, come on. The good life, the joyful life, the Christian life, the life God intends for each one of us to live tells us that there is more joy in giving than in receiving. And at first glance, we look at that and we say, really, is that true? Try it. Try it again with small children or grandchildren. Gary, you will be happier if you give more away this Christmas than you get presents. And Gary will be disappointed when his presents aren't under the tree in abundance. It's a tough sell teaching children that to give is better than receiving. Our experience is that younger children are largely receivers, and they have to be taught that giving has its own rewards. Or try those words in a consumer-related society. It's better to give than to get. The television, you know, it literally screams at us, especially as the commercials come on, because the commercials are louder than the program that we're watching. And they scream that happiness is found in making new purchases. Just watch the commercials today if you watch any football at all. They're in abundance. We get bombarded by such commercials. One college president named Robert Hutchinson, he has said this about our way of life in North America. He says, it is to buy things that we do not want or really need at prices we cannot pay, on terms we cannot meet, because of all the advertising that we do not believe. It's true. Another author has called this matter of buying things because of advertising and buying things as Americans, it's a sin in good standing, a sin in good standing in America. I love this story. There's a story about a man who saw a sign in a fishing store, a bait shop, and the sign said, all the worms you want for a dollar. And the man looked at the person behind the counter, the employee, and he said, I'll have $2 worth. Did you get that? I'll have $2 worth. Jesus' words about giving, about being greater than getting, they seem out of place in the world in which we live. But let me be quick not to overstate the case this morning. Jesus does not say there is no enjoyment in receiving. He does not say there's no joy in getting. A few years ago, in fact, one of our members, a woman member, came up to me after the service, and she said, well, Chris, you just ruined my afternoon today with your stewardship sermon. And I said, how so? And she said, well, tomorrow I start a new job. And I was going this afternoon to Dillard's to buy a couple of new dresses, and now I have no joy in doing that. And of course, I corrected her. There is joy in getting. There is joy in receiving. Don't overstate it. What Jesus was saying here is that there is more happiness, there is deeper and more lasting joy in giving. That's what he's saying. There's more in giving, more joy. After all, on Sunday, folks say this. We hear it as a church staff. People say, we want to get something out of worship. And no matter how much pastors and church leaders say that worship is all about giving, giving honor and glory to God, you get that. But we all stick to our guns and say, okay, but in the second place, I still want to get something out of it. And I get that. I feel the same way. It'll be a long time from now that I will live off last Sunday because I received more than I gave. Every Sunday counts. There are no throwaway Sundays. And so why, the question comes, why is it happier to give than to get? And I want to spend the rest of my time here this morning elaborating on that. And the first answer of why it's happier to give than to get that we affirm this morning is that because Jesus says it's true. Jesus says so. In some Bibles, like the Bible I've placed this morning on the baptismal font, Jesus' sayings, everything he taught, is written in red font, in red letters. And so Paul reminds us this morning in the book of Acts something that Jesus said. And so it's in red letters. It's red letter stuff. It's stuff that Jesus said. And if Jesus said it, it's good enough for me, I'll tell you that. And all of which is to say, you don't have to take a poll about it. You don't have to form a committee about it. You don't have to have a survey to evaluate it. The conclusion, first and foremost, this morning, in this first point, is a spiritual matter. That by Jesus himself, he said that the maximum happiness in life is out of giving. Secondly, note with me, it's happier. You can be more blessed to give than to get because giving takes us out of ourselves. And that's really important. Does anyone doubt that getting out of your own hands is the key to happiness? It is. Nothing is more grim than someone or somebody whose concentration is solely on themselves only and their own family and their own friends. It's depressing and it can be self-centered when everything is about me and mine. There is an author who has a number of books about the character called Edith. And this is what he said about Edith. Edith, he said, was surrounded on the north and the south and the east and the west by Edith herself. That sounds suffocating, doesn't it? It sounds claustrophobic to be surrounded by yourself. Jesus said that if we're going to find ourselves, we have to first give ourselves away to get out of ourselves. Preoccupation with me and my and mine is boring to ourselves and others. And there is a story in the Gospels about a man who considered his own barns, his own things, his own money, and that night his life was taken from him, and God called him a fool because he only thought about me, my, and mine. I've always enjoyed reading about Dave Thomas, the founder of Wendy's. I worked at Wendy's as a high school student, and I enjoyed it. When I worked at Wendy's, you could get all the food that you wanted for free if you were an employee. And I would go there straight after football practice and work until 9. They only allowed us to work until 9 p.m., and we could take home as much food as we wanted. Nowadays, you have to pay a percentage for it. You get a discount, but you have to pay for it. But it was all the rage to work at Wendy's when I was in high school, and a lot of my friends did. But Dave Thomas, the founder of Wendy's, was known for his life by lifting up praise to someone that was not related to him, Danny Thomas, the comedian, the one that started St. Jude's Hospital, a terrific place. And this is what Dave Thomas said of Danny Thomas. He said, Thomas gave of himself. He would say this in all of his speeches that he gave. He taught others to give of themselves too and to forget their selfish side. And then he would say, let some good cause bigger than yourself take hold of you. He was known and in his speeches mostly then to stop and look at the audience and say, what is your St. Jude's in life? There ought to be one. Think about your St. Jude, whatever it is, and support it. And that's the message this morning. That's the message about the support that is needed of the Church of Jesus Christ. And like many of you, I was raised with the understanding that I am to return a portion to God of what God has blessed me with. I am to share. To share and work toward a percentage of my giving. And there is nothing unreasonable to understand that the more that we have, to whom much is given, much is required. And that's true of everyone that's here this morning, because if you live in this country, you are indeed rich and you are blessed. I want to tell you that I have found over the years here, the spirit of generosity is alive and well in this congregation. It's alive and well. Even as we have endured this pandemic, in this current year, our pledges are just over 100%. Thanks be to God. This year, we budgeted undesignated giving at $100,000. We based it on last year. $100,000 last year, we budgeted $100,000 undesignated gifts for this year. To date, that number is over $150,000 after three quarters. This is a generous congregation. But let me tell you, we will need to do more and more in the coming year. There are four staff positions we hope to fill in the coming year. Chris Hurst, who has been our business administrator for 14 years, will retire in January. Linda O'Leary, our full charge bookkeeper, she just retired in October. That's two positions. The third one is a director of children's ministry, and we have a search for a director of children's ministry. And the fourth, now you know, is an associate director of music. And there's also a fifth one, a director of a before and after school program. Five staff positions. And I can tell you this, those that are here on this church staff are working harder than they have ever worked before. It is better to give than to receive. And I have talked with individuals in this congregation, many of whom are on limited budgets, and they have told me, I continue to plan to give as best I can during this pandemic. Pray that it's over soon. All that we have comes from God, and so let each of us make a priority gift as we turn in our pledge cards for the coming year. We'd like to be able to count more pledge cards this year than any year in the past. And if possible, turn all those undesignated gifts into pledges to know what we can count on. We live by the grace of God, don't we? Well, third point, and I'm almost finished. Giving is happier than getting because it helps others, and you know that. There is no more a joyous matter than the realization that you have lent a helping hand to others. I almost went back over this past week and looked at all of the annual reports in the past to look at all of the giving and to try to count just the blankets alone over the last decades that we have given to Bethel and those migrant workers. You could do that with the food pantry and so many more things that we do here financially for others. If you did that, the numbers would be staggering. It is happier to give than to get. And I have never heard so much enthusiasm out of a family's life or an individual's life when they tell me the story about how they have given of themselves personally to someone or their family, and their family appreciates that gift of themselves, of their time, of their talents, of their money, and of the sacrifices that they're giving for someone that they love. And so let me give you then one last crowning reason that givers are more happier than getters or takers. And it's because those who give are exhibiting the very character of God. Our God is a prodigal giver. And if you look up the word prodigal, you will find that it means extravagant giving, almost to the point of being irresponsible. You remember the story of the prodigal son. I know you do. The son received his inheritance and he spent it extravagantly. He spent it foolishly. And that story really ought to be relabeled the story of the prodigal father, because it was the father who shocked the community in which they lived by giving the living son his entire inheritance before he died. The father was extremely generous. And the point is, our life, our breath, our bodies, our families, our friends, the whole earth, all that we have belongs to a loving God who has given to us so extravagantly. God loves to shower us with extravagant wonders, and it doesn't stop there. Everybody knows what must be the most beloved quoted verse in all the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only son. And it doesn't stop there. Because in Jesus himself, he put his life on his line. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his lives for his friends. And Jesus did that. He gave of his own life. And you see, what I'm saying this morning is at the very heart of God is the nature and character of giving. Of giving. And so today we set ourselves aside, we set our gifts aside, we dedicate ourselves to God's work in the coming year. We do so that we fulfill the promises of Christ, that we help to teach our children and our youth. We grow in faith as adults. We plan and carry out effective worship to the glory and honor of God. And we reach out to the least and to the lost in all that we do. Friends, we have promises to keep for this coming year. And so let me invite you to stand as we dedicate our lives to God for the coming year in 2022. Let us pray. Oh Lord, as we stand today, we do so to dedicate our gifts to you for the coming year. And not only our gifts, but our time and our talents. For you have so wondrously showered so many blessings upon each one of us, too many to number. We pray our lives may become more and more, dare we say it, may they become more and more like Jesus. For you invite us today to do just that. You welcome us. You challenge us for our lives to be just like his. And we stop and we think today, what is the stronger word in our life? To get or to give? May it be giving. For in giving, you truly, truly bless us. For you want us to share all that we have, all that we have and all that you've given us. And in Christ's name, we dedicate it to you. Amen.